fearless, jumping from an airplane. But today I'm going to show you another side of me, not so fearless, but I'll get to that later. I hear there was cheering in the house when I landed. Well, thank you. I understand, and it was an accomplishment that many may not have been able to do. But, oh, I can't wait for the cheer that I hear in this place, when to welcome the souls into the kingdom, to celebrate not only what God has done and is doing, but also cheering those who are brave enough to accomplish what many now struggle to do, to step out and to bring in the lost souls. Will that be a cheer? Amen. This message is a continuation of the last one I gave back in January. For those who weren't here, and to refresh your memory, it arose from a strong impression I received while leading worship one day. I heard two words in my spirit: break out. This began a search for what God was saying to me and possibly to all of us. Break out. To make a break from a restraining condition or situation, as to break out of a slump or break out of jail, or to make ready for action or use, as to break out the tents to make camp. I needed no reminder that there are things in my life that were straining me, and possibly you, from moving freely in the work of the Lord, that what He has for me to fulfill His great commission. The first lesson God showed me, and which I previously shared, was that I had a false sense of what I need to do and be, to be of value of God, to God, to be useful for Him. And much of that comes from comparing myself to you guys. I explained that this has to do with our sense of value and worth. I so often see myself differently than God sees me, and I live out of my own value system instead of God's. In looking to others who seem successful in breaking out, instead of comparing myself to them now in action and abilities, I see that they value Him and His will far more than their own lives. I was reminded that I must rid my sense of value from my emotions, the voices I hear in my world, my past failures, and lies I've told myself, and glean solely from God's truth. If you're interested to hear the entire message, it is on the website. In this time, or that time, I also vowed to seek God more deeply, listen more intently, and be determined to go if He says go. Well, I did the first bit, but I still don't find it easy to go. I ask the question, why, God? And my next lesson came quickly on its heels. And because I've been given opportunity to speak to you at this time, I believe there are some here who need to hear of my experiences too. My eldest sister, who lives in America, is an avid trail bike rider. But as her health and strength diminishes, she's been contemplating purchasing an electric bike. It got me thinking. It appealed to me. It's been a while, but I have had seasons of riding bikes in my day. I'm not exercising as much as I should, and I wondered whether this would be a good outlet for me. Well, soon after, Karen was enticed to riding and, as I'm sure you all know, bought herself an electric bike and has been riding all over the countryside. And this made it appeal to me even more. It's a big purchase, and I didn't want to rush it, so I was given trials on a suitable bike. And though I struggled a bit, it had been a while, I realized that, yes, I thought I'd be able to be successful enough to get a lot of use out and enjoyment out of it. I made the big investment, and then the fun began. As more people began to find out and comment, I became more and more fearful to ride my bike. Well, not to ride it so much. It was actually the taking off and the stopping. I'd had a few falls at these two points. And at that point in time, it hadn't stopped me from keep trying. However, now I would get on a bike, helmet on and all, and I'd just sit there. Fear welling up in me as I'd never known. Well, except when I've come face to face with a few snakes in my life. But it still wasn't this intense to this degree. It made no sense to me. I've not had this happen to me before, so I had no experience in dealing with it. And it seemed so extreme. A couple of times, I would sit in that position for 3/4 of an hour at a time, determined, confessing positive statements to build myself up, but I could not bring myself to start my ride. And I'd take the helmet off, and I'd put the bike away. Sometimes I would push through, still feeling fear, and begin a ride, only to find out that later on when I'd stop, that same debilitating feeling would overtake me, and I couldn't start again. And I'd sit there laughing at myself, because if I didn't conquer this, I was going to have a 6-kilometer ride back to my car. God, I cried out, what is happening and why? I confessed it to a friend who wondered if I was fearful of hurting myself. That made sense. The same fear that overcomes me with snakes. Was it fear of personal injury? But I knew this wasn't it. Have you seen my latest video? I've always been a bit of a daredevil. I was the only girl on the block who joined the boys in their gridiron games, and I was always so proud when they told me I was the best tackle of the lot of them. Fear of pain is something that I've not known often. In fact, I don't even have injections at the dentist. It's just me. Well, God in His grace showed me what my problem was. As well, He gave me lessons and related to my question, why am I not going in the Lord like I know He wants me to? My fear was coming from pride and fear of failure and the shame it could bring. What if I did fail at riding this bike? Not only had I made an investment that would be wasted, but it seemed like everyone knew now, and I would be a failure in their eyes. So, what did I, with God's help, identified from that? I had fear of failure, a lot of pride, and then doubt came in like a flood and stopped me even more. What if I really can't do it? Once I identified the real reason for my fear, I gave it to God, and He began to heal me of it all, starting by exposing my self-reliance. You see, I was trying to overcome my problem in my own strength. I'll stop my story there. My God has walked me through so much, and still is. But I know I'm here today to share with you what He's shown me so far about fear and how it can block us from running for and with Him, or soaring like an eagle, as Bruce explained a few weeks ago. The first thing that was very obvious from my experience, fear can paralyze us. And this is why it has the power of stopping us doing what God wants us to do. Secondly, it's important to identify the real fear, treating a misdiagnosed fear or one that's not even there. Perhaps the symptoms of the fear, making yourself do it anyway, but without identifying it. Well, none of that's going to make us free. There will be no overcoming fruit if we don't bring God into it and surrender totally to Him. I found that the fruit fear produces is hopelessness, loss of vision, depression, and confusion. Fourthly, positive thinking alone just won't cut it. That's only feeding our minds. It's the Word of God we need that invades our heart. And five, don't overthink it. That means no analyzing, no dwelling on the problem. Just give it to God and allow God. So what is fear? Of course, there are healthy fears, usually ones of self-preservation and preservation of others, like our children. And there is also the fear of God, which has another and a different meaning altogether. However, there are those types of fear that, simply put, are completely irrational and don't really serve a purpose. They are merely based in some sort of programming, false belief system, a highly active imagination, or a past traumatic experience. What helped me to understand the effects of fear much better was when God told me to replace the word fear with timidity, which is the same thing. Timidity, timid, intimidation. It's easier for us to fight the fear when we can identify what is intimidating us. One of my great fears is what is now known as FOPO, fear of others, fear of other people's opinions. It's often, like mine was with my bike, a self-imposed intimidation. When I look at the truth, there are none of you who would point a finger and laugh at me. That was all in my imagination. If you did laugh right now, I'd laugh along with you. I've seen fear described as an acronym: false evidence appearing real. It's us believing lies instead of the truth. Jesus alone, through his word, is our source of truth, the only truth. And he alone can legitimately instruct us on what we should believe. When Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled," and "Do not fear," we must believe this is possible. If we are fearful and troubled with worry, then we are listening to lies, aren't we? Fear and lies go hand in hand. Our enemy, the devil, loves to lie to us and leave us feeling insecure and afraid. Lies creating fear are the tools he uses to keep us from living out God's plan and purposes for our lives. Fear comes in all shapes and sizes. It can look like worry. We can worry about our finances, our kids, losing our job. Fear can look like despair, thinking things like, "Oh, I'm not good enough. Oh, you won't get that promotion. They'll never want to marry you." Despair can cause you to just throw in the towel. Fear can also look like anxiety. The thought of getting COVID or a world war can make you so anxious that you never leave your house. And some people are there. We all experience fear in one way or another. Perhaps you wake up in the early hours in the morning realizing you've got bills to pay and nothing in the bank. Or maybe you don't sleep much because every noise you hear reminds you of the time that your house was broken into. Sometimes we fear what is to come, an illness, the death of a loved one, or being alone. There's also a different kind of fear to consider. Many of us live with the nagging fear that if people really knew us, they'd be disappointed. In these days, parents are intimidated by their children in many cases and by the laws governing the treatment of children, and therefore discipline just goes out the window. Max Lucado said, "Fear corrodes our confidence in God's goodness. Fear blinds us to the character of our kind, loving, and powerful Father and Lord," which is why the psalmist states in Psalm 27 that all he asks is that he seek after the Lord, dwell in his place, gaze upon his beauty, and inquire in his temple. What the psalmist wanted most, in the midst of the fear-inducing turmoil he was facing, was to be near God and to know him. He wanted this even more than he wanted his problem solved. Fight your fear with faith by immersing yourself in the knowledge of God's character. In his very essence, he is good and utterly trustworthy. Even when you forget his provision in your place of fear, he is gracious to remind you of his constancy. When you are faced with fear, remind yourself of the times God has come through for you in the past. Fear can look like a lot of things. But its greatest damage to our life is its ability to honor our decision making. Every decision we make out of fear will not be in accordance with God's will. Fear squashes our vision. It will put an end to our strategy and cause us to never reach our goals. And you will regret every fear-based decision you've ever made. I know I do. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." We have to choose. I heard that this morning. We have to choose whether we are going to live a life of fear or live a life of faith. What's the difference between fear and faith? Fear paralyzes. Faith mobilizes. Following God can be a risky business, you know. Noah took a risk when he built the ark. Abraham took a risk when he left the land of his forefathers. Moses took a risk trying to rescue his people from Egypt. Joshua took a risk when he marched around Jericho. Gideon took a risk, leading 300 men against the whole army. David took a risk when he stood against Goliath. And I would have to take a risk when I go to speak the gospel to my neighbor. I mean, what if he rejects me? What if I turn him off God altogether? What if I mess it up? Following God means taking risks. And fear literally shuts down our ability to live by faith. It keeps us from dreaming big. It keeps us from trying new things. Fear paralyzes. We get the picture of a stunned rabbit or a deer in headlights. That's pretty well right. Just immovable. But faith propels. It moves us forward and frees us to risk that what God says we can do, we can do. Who will agree with me that fear's a real bully? An out-and-out bully. I think that's a very good comparison. Now, here's a picture that some of you would associate with a feeling of fear. I must admit, my legs can get a bit shaky on structures like this. However, before you panic, look at the truth. Is it a solid structure? Yes. Have others gone across it before you without harm? Yes. How much is your wild imagination playing a part in your fear over reason and truth? I think it's a pretty good example of fear versus truth. You know, when I was a new Christian, I couldn't fast. The thought of it made me fearful. However, I could see in God's word that fasting was a favored spiritual activity and it was commanded by Jesus. Why, God, am I frightened to fast? After time in his presence, seeking his face and journaling, by the way, I'm a big advocate for journaling because it stops me still, keeps me from getting distracted and helps me to focus. But anyway, I remembered my mother always saying to me, "You'd better have something to eat. You don't want to get hungry." Well, I realized that as a child, I interpreted this as a scary thing. To be hungry, this created in my mind a fear of getting hungry. Once I identified the lie and took it to God, I have never felt this fear again, obviously, because reason took over and I had been listening to a lie. I'm hoping that I'll cause you today to examine your heart. Firstly, are you aware of any present fear or worry, anxiety or intimidation? And secondly, instead, are you aware that something may be holding you back from stepping out of the things of God? Please don't go home today and put this aside. Jesus tells us in Matthew 7:7-8, "Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive. And he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be open." Be like little children. Who do they seek out when they're frightened? Their father or their mother. I can remember as a child when the night was dark and noises were scary. We lived in our house was over 100 years old. Wanting to get out of bed and get a drink of water. But what was going to meet me between my bedroom and the kitchen? I got pretty frightened, so I called out to my dad. And he'd come, and he'd take my hand, and he'd walk right through those spooky rooms, you know, as if there was nothing to worry about. He knew there was nothing to fear. It reminds me of Jesus sleeping in the boat while the disciples feared. God is promising us success. He's holding out his hand. There's so many scriptures on fear. I'm sure you all know. Oh, they've gone too little. Sorry about that. Can you see them at all? I wanted you to at least immerse you in them, to see with your own eyes what God says. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in me. God, trust in God and trust also in me. I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. But when I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. There we go. Didn't know where I was. I'll do it this way. I praise God for what he has promised. I trust in God, so why should I be afraid? And what can mere mortals do to me? But you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won the victory over those people, because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world. Don't be intimidated in any way by your enemies. This will be a sign to them that they are going to be destroyed, but that you are going to be saved, even by God himself. Fearing people is a dangerous trap, but trusting the Lord means safety. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. And then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Jesus told him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." But Christ, as the Son, is in charge of God's entire house. And we are God's house if we keep our courage and remain confident in our hope in Christ. So what have I learned so far through this journey God has taken me on? Besides how to ride my bike without fear. It's not that I don't get nervous sometimes, but we're getting there. What can I recommend to you? Go straight to God. Pray first. Cast your worry on him and ask for ears to hear his voice. Slow down. Rest in him. Absorb his presence. Allow his spirit and truth to envelop you. Together with God, identify your fear. And this is the don't overthink it part. God will drop it into your spirit. Hand everything to him and sort out and act only when he tells you to. Review God's truth over your fear and pray for strength to overcome. And then let God be enough. Now please realize this isn't a formula and it will not be a half an hour process. Remain open to God. He will speak to you whether it takes a day or weeks or months. It will be a unique process for each person and every situation. Seek counsel with a mature Christian if you believe this will help. Remain open. Resist fear and intimidating thoughts. Soak yourself in God's word and be assured of victory. And God's on our case. When every voice, every temptation, every instinct urges you to be afraid, lift your eyes. Lift your heart to the hills where our help comes from. This is what God has for us. Living in total freedom. It's what our hearts long for. And we can trust in a Father who loves us and only has our best in mind. I just want to end with what might seem an obscure thought, but it motivated me. Bible study Thursday, we were speaking about the fact that at salvation, we gave our hearts to our Savior and our Shepherd. But now, we find ourselves married to a king. We can't remain public, insular, hiding behind these walls. Royalty is a public affair, as our media continues to point out. The world truly is watching us. We are to behave royally, an example of our king. I believe it is time to allow God to free us of everything that's holding us back and to break out, that his plan is accomplished. Let us follow the advice of the writer of Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. Let us pray. Dear God, many of us at this time are battle weary. Fighting fear does this to us, and you understand. And that's why you're bringing this to our attention today, I believe. Father, when fear attacks, may our first response be to run to you in childlike trust. You alone know what lies ahead of us, and in your faithfulness, love, and care, please lead us into each new day. Help us to long to know you more, especially when we face fear. When our eyes are fixed on you, we are reminded of your great love and power, and we can rest in the knowledge that you care for us as your own children. Thank you that you are our light and our salvation and our stronghold because of the sacrifice Jesus made when he died on the cross for us. We know that nothing can separate us from your love. Father, thank you for placing us in this community. Make us a victorious people, victorious witnesses, strong and bold, with no fear that holds us back, but total trust in you, knowing and living in your truth alone. We ask this in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen.